the readings of this Sunday's Mass, and in particular, and we follow now the usual pattern of the first reading and the Gospel reading being of the same matter, more or less, have to do with the very wonderful virtue of forgiveness and of peace and mercy towards one another. Sirach tells us that wrath and anger are hateful things. Yet the sinner who holds on to them hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance. And he remembers others' sins in detail. And isn't that the truth? Oftentimes, when another person does something and we don't like them, or we don't like what they've done to us, we remember every single little thing they have done wrong. Now, if you turn the tables around, how would we like it? And this, of course, is what our Lord is saying to us. If we nourish and hold on to grudges and anger towards one another, then that is the same thing we shall receive in return from God. He sees everything. How can we seek pardon for our own sins if we cherish wrath for the sins of others? And so then, we must not hate our neighbor, but love our neighbor. Even if it is not always easy, even if it is not always convenient. And not only are we talking about enemies, we're talking about friends. Oftentimes, among friends, there is a lot of enmity that ensues over this disagreement or that disagreement. And it is very difficult for peace to be established once again. And even then, there's a little bit that we hold back. Oh, he did this to me 10 years ago. Oh, her grandmother did this to my grandmother 80 years ago. I've actually heard people say that. What good is it at this time to hold on to that nonsense? And those people are long dead and gone. Hopefully not in hell, which we don't know. We don't know. And so we have this event here of St. Peter, who always asked difficult questions, always made preposterous claims, even if they were true. Lord, if my brother has sinned against me, how often must I forgive him? Seven times? And our Lord says, no, not only seven times. Now remember, in the scriptural language, seven means many. And our Lord says, no, no, not just many, 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 many times. And that is not easy, because there are some people that every day, every week, or whatever, they offend us, they step on our toes, they hurt our pride. And of course, that's lacking inside of us, or not lacking, in other words. It's always behind. It's behind every single sin that we commit, and including that of lack of forgiveness, is the sin of pride. And so he gives us these two similar accounts of two servants. The one owed him what in today's amounts would be perhaps millions. Millions. And it also, it's almost impossible to pay back. And ultimately speaking, when we offend God, when we do something against God, we owe him millions. Millions. Almost impossible to pay him back. And of course, that's why our Lord became man. Whilst our Lord suffered the passion and died on the cross and rose from the dead, because we could not possibly make up for our sins. He had to do it. He who is perfect. He who is both God and man. And then the other servant, he owed him a tiny amount, maybe a few thousand. And of course, to him, it might have seemed like a lot of money at that time. But nevertheless, compared to the other, who owed millions, it was nothing. Somehow or other, it would work out. But this servant, even though he has been forgiven a humongous amount, refuses to forgive his fellow servant. And that is the way we oftentimes behave to one another. God forgives us tremendous amounts of sins and injustice of every single kind. And of course, we know there are 10 commandments and 7 precepts of the church. Most people think there's just one or two. And then they're, okay, everything's fine. I'm going straight to heaven when I die. Such foolishness. They're going to have such a surprise. That is not the way it is. And God does not forget a thing that we have done. Not a thing. We may forget. Others may forget. But God does not forget. And so the one who owed millions, a humongous offense, a humongous amount, and was forgiven, he refuses to forgive that one who owes a very small amount. And then he throws him in jail. And of course, until recently, that was the penalty for debtors. In fact, that's what was one of the things that was special about this country and the New World is that you could not be thrown into debtor's prison. You were allowed to do something to earn back the money to pay back. And so this has not been something that is common, at least not in this country, for a long, long time. And so we wish to reestablish that. We who are such sinners, who continuously disobey God. And so the Master, which of course is God, sees the lack of mercy and forgiveness on the part of that one towards his fellow servant, who was supposed to be his friend, his companion. And so he gives him exactly what he did to him. As you do, so shall it be done unto you. He threw him in debtor's prison. And here it doesn't just say prison, but the torturers, where they whipped you and made you suffer tremendous pains until you paid it back. Perhaps the thought was that somebody in your family would raise the money. But for the most part, if you were in jail, how can you earn the money to pay back the debt? It's virtually impossible. And so the master throws this other servant, to whom he forgave humongous debt, millions, and throws him in jail until he pays back. And so we too must learn a lesson from these two servants and from the book of Sirach. Not to hold on to grudges, to anger, not to hold on in pride to the sins that others have committed against us, but to forgive. And indeed, this is such an important teaching of our Lord and of the gospel that when he taught us how to pray, he made it part of his prayer. Dimitte nobis vita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Which is it going to be for you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.